Much. My name is David Medford. It's an honor to have 2 minutes of your time, frankly. I'm a 40-year resident of Portland, 30-year member of the National Association of Letter Carriers. I'm also a union activist in a group named Climate Jobs PDX, which spreads the word about the climate crisis to the labor community and advocates to environmental groups about the need to fight for massive clean energy job programs, as well as a just transition for workers involved. I want to commend Mayor Hale and Commissioner Fritz for the leadership on this issue. The science is overwhelmingly convincing about the oncoming disaster humans are facing. We know we have to leave dirty energy in the ground in a thoughtful, planned, rapid World War II-sized ramp-up of climate healing and people healing strategies. I want to voice my support for the City Council Fossil Fuel Initiative. Please vote yes. I also want to submit, which was spoken of earlier, the Clean Energy Plan.
We did
it's
copy
it's an amazing document.
Yes,
I know you've got plenty of things to do, et cetera, but it's a serious, comprehensive plan, a collaboration between Labor Network for Sustainability, 350.org, and Synapse Energy. The report is a plan to reduce U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 80%. By 2050, while adding 500,000 jobs and saving Americans billions of dollars on their electricity, heating, and transportation costs. This detailed plan will help bring together policymakers, lawmakers, business, environmental, and labor advocates around their common interest in putting Americans to work and saving the Earth's climate. The reality is there's no conflict between the two, between good-paying jobs and solving our environmental problems. For unions and other job advocates, climate protection is also a great jobs program. We can create many more jobs by protecting the environment than by expanding the fossil fuel infrastructure. Please take it seriously.
Really,
it's a really good document. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Welcome.
My name is John Nickel. I'm from North Portland, and I'm going to assume that this excellent resolution is going to pass. And looking beyond that, I believe that you're going to face someday the need to actually remove the existing fossil fuel infrastructure from Portland. And to that end, I would like to say, take heart, the technology is there for you to do this. And we think of alternative energy as being wind, water, solar production of electricity. And within that, I would also add the largely ignored principles of passive solar design. But beyond that, there are much more developments that have taken place already that are, this is going to sound pretty wacky, but there has been secret development of new energy systems by the military. It's one of these justifications of the overbloated military budget that we have, that they've done this, and you're going to be astounded when the time comes to change Portland over to a much more sensible system. So knowing the time is short, I hope that you will go right to a vote.
Thank you very much. Well, before we close the hearing and do that, I did see some students come downstairs. So in case they want to speak, did I miss them? Don't want to miss anybody that has to do a homework assignment based on coming here today. So I wouldn't want to leave you empty-handed. Okay, perhaps not. So again, appreciate all the great testimony. It is time. Oh, there are students. Okay, students, you do get to come up and speak because we're going to always make that exception. Come on up. Good afternoon. We always try to make room in what we do here for the next generation of leaders. So come on up and join your colleague here. Tell us what you have on your mind. Well, just give us your name. And what school do you go to?
Okay. I'm Isaac Vergun, and I go to the International School of Beaverton.
Hmm. Welcome. And you?
I'm Rico Vergun, my sister. Yes. And I also go to the International School of Beaverton.
Welcome.
My name is Isaac Vergun, and I go to the International School of Beaverton. I ask you to support the resolutions introduced by Mayor Hales. I represent Plant for the Planet, Climate Change Recovery, Climate Change for Families, and Our Children's Trust. My sister and I are two of 21 plaintiffs from around the country who filed a lawsuit in August against the federal government for promoting the use of fossil fuels, despite the government's knowledge since at least 1965 that fossil fuels fuel use was causing dangerous climate change. I felt guilty due to climate change because me and my family went to Great America this summer, and there was in California, and there was a water park, and they have a drought there that's been going on for a couple of years. While this case is ongoing, the case that I just mentioned, it is imperative that local and state governments also do their part to stop new fossil fuel projects and to put in place science-based climate recovery plans.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Okay. My name is Miko Vagan, and I'm 14 years old, and I'm a freshman at the International School of Beaverton. Going to a school that focuses a lot on advocacy really helps a lot, especially when you go to monthly Beaverton City Council meetings that directly affect your future. I'm here to advocate for not only my future, but my rights and the rights of future generations and my people, islanders, who are affected by the rising sea levels due to climate change. What frustrates me so much is when elected officials don't see climate change as a pressing issue. My parents worked very hard to get Obama president for both terms, and right now he is promoting Arctic drilling and not doing enough to discourage the use of fossil fuels. This upsets me, my brother, and 19 other kids in the United States whom we have worked to file with a recent lawsuit against the government and the president. You see, the government and the president have been violating our rights to life, liberty, and property by allowing the use and extraction of fossil fuels. This will impact us in the future, and that's why we decided to take action. Please vote yes on the resolution. So many future generations are counting on you.
Thank you both. Let's again, thanks, students. All right, we appreciate everyone that was able to testify. Sorry for any that weren't able to, but we do need to take action because we're going to lose a quorum. I think we have a slight refinement of that amendment. Is that right?
Yes, Mayor. We've had some feedback from city staff that the Fish Amendment 5 would be strengthened if instead of saying including ethnic communities, we inserted communities of color, which is intended to be broader and more inclusive. So I accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, that's noted as a friendly amendment and included. Any further amendments or discussion before we take action? So roll call vote, please.
Novick?
I think this is a great resolution, and I'm proud to support it. But if Portland is to be truly a model for the rest of the world in climate disruption, it's not enough, of course, just to be against fossil fuel exports. We have to reduce our own fossil fuel imports. And we've made some strides in that direction. I think we've reduced our carbon emissions in Portland by 13% in the last 25 years. That's good. We need to reduce them by another 80%. And that means that not only do you have to challenge us to do the right thing, which you have done, and I thank you, but it also means that in some contexts, we're going to have to challenge our own friends and neighbors, because I think all of us have friends and neighbors that oppose policies that are actually designed in part to reduce our carbon emissions. And that's not because they're tools of the fossil fuel industry. It's because they're acting on what they see as common sense and the desire to protect their own neighborhoods and way of life. I know, and I'm sure you know, people who are really irritated by all these bike lanes and want the city to stop spending money on bike lanes because they see bike lanes as a frill. But we do need to get people out of their cars, and bicycles are, in fact, an alternate means of transportation that in Copenhagen, for example, represent 30% of all trips. It's not a pipe dream to move a bunch of people from cars to bikes, but it requires expanding those evil little bike lanes. And there's a lot of folks who are upset when there's a new apartment building in their neighborhood. And it might be counterintuitive, but having more people living in apartments is one of the ways we reduce carbon emissions. Because if you have a bunch of people living close together, then there will be a grocery store that springs up within walking distance. If people are living spread apart, they're likely going to drive. So I ask you to remind your neighbors that apartment buildings actually can be good for the environment. And there's people who are especially upset about the idea that there's an apartment building without a parking space for every apartment. And I ask you to remind your neighbors that if we keep on building society around the idea that everybody will drive a car all the time, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I ask you to, again, not just challenge us, not just challenge the fossil fuel companies, but to challenge your neighbors. And I know that if we were in a position to switch immediately tomorrow to all electric cars powered by all renewable energy, that we wouldn't need to ask people to make these kind of sacrifices. But right now, electric cars are too expensive for most people, and we have a lot of work to do in terms of building wind transmission infrastructure, figuring out how to store solar before we get there. So until then, we've got to focus a lot on conservation, and that's a challenge, and I look forward to working with you on those challenges. Aye.
So there were a lot of individuals and organizations who worked on these policies, the one last week and the one this week. I particularly want to thank Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, the League of Women Voters, the Columbia River Keepers, the Audubon Society of Portland, Friends of the Columbia River Gorge, 350 PDX, Northeast Coalition of Neighbors and North Portland Neighborhood Services, Ecumenical Ministries. I'm sure I could go through the whole list of testimony from last week and add many more, so I apologize if I missed yours. I do need to also single out some individuals who've been particularly strong leaders in the community: Bob Salinger, Regna Merritt, Don Serres, Michael Lang, Sandy Polachek, and Nick Caleb have been particularly helpful to me and my staff in crafting the resolution last week and this week. And talking of staff, Michael Armstrong, Jackie Dingfelder, and Christina Nieves in the city's, the first two being Mayor Hales' staff and Christina being mine, have been absolutely fantastic. And so there's been a lot of great energy, a lot of good work that's gone into the resolution last week and the resolution this week. I particularly want to commend whoever invented the chopstick with the crepe paper. Who was the inventor of the chopstick with the crepe paper? Well, last week, right there, thank you very much. Last week, I took mine, and I took it to the East Portland neighborhood organizations. I said, this is the next best, the next great thing in community organizing. It's much less expensive than the T-shirts. I appreciate the T-shirts, and yes, I did wear red today intentionally. It looks like it's so much more fun to wave those things than to do the jazz hands. So we're certainly going to be encouraging folks in the budget sessions and from now on, just pick your color, bring your chopstick, and it's, I think, a huge step forward. I have actually saved mine that I got last week, and it's in the vase that also has the flag that I got on the day that marriage equality became the law of the land. So the Sunnyside students talking about celebrating in 200 years' time still makes me tear up. That's quite significant to think that cities can lead, and I love the sign that you have, cities lead. Like paid sick leave, this is something that is going to go statewide, it's going to go national, it's going to go international, and little old Portland, Oregon is paving the way, except not paving the way, we're going impervious, we're not adding to the impervious surface. We are keeping things green, and keeping Portland clean, I think, is another great suggestion that I heard today about what our new slogan should be. Last week, after we had voted on the oil train resolution, and again, thank you for supporting that, there was a big chant of vote on both, vote on both. I'm so glad we didn't vote on both. Partly, we had another great hearing today with a lot of super testimony. More importantly, though, it gave us the time under Mayor Harrell's leadership to bring every single one of the council in on refining and making the resolution even stronger. Commissioner Novick, thank you for making your amendments targeted and succinct, and for not only voting for the resolution last week, but for voting for it this week. Commissioner Fish put in an enormous amount of time and attention to detail on the language, even up to the very last minute, making that change, and was very... does an extraordinary job of helping to coordinate the council. Commissioner Saltzman, I'm so glad that you were able to be here this week and that your amendment also caught a particular nuance of the quasi-judicial system, which may end up being really important. And that's what we try to do up here, is we try to think of things that may be really important so that we can address them ahead of time. None of this would have happened without Mayor Hales and his courage in bringing this forward and also working on it really fast. You know, he decided that we couldn't wait and that he was going to bring this resolution today at the same time that I had been working on the Royal Oil Train resolution for months. And you and your staff, Mayor, were able to get it coordinated to work with all parties. I feel so proud to have been a co-sponsor of both of these organizations, both of these resolutions with you. Cities can lead. Aye. Yes.
Fish. Colleagues, today I'm proud to join you in support of this historic resolution. When this fossil fuel policy was first proposed, I had a lot of questions. I wondered what it would mean for existing businesses that wanted to make safety improvements, especially around seismic resilience. I wondered what it would mean for our blue-collar workers. I wanted to better understand the intended and unintended consequences of our proposed action, and I wanted to make sure that we took the time now and in the future to get it right. My job is to ask these questions, and I have in conversations with Michael Armstrong and Jackie Dingfelder, with citizens and with advocates, and during the hearings. And today my questions have been answered. I'm grateful to my colleagues for supporting my request that we find ways to invest in our workers as we transition from a fossil fuel economy to a clean energy economy. Today's action strikes a balance, and we're sending a strong signal that we're moving away from fossil fuels and welcoming clean energy companies to our community. And we're signaling to our local workers that we care about their future, what someone called a just transition. You see, a healthy and sustainable future depends on protecting our environment and creating opportunity for all of our people. And for me, it's never an either or, it's both. I believe Portland has a chance to demonstrate the power of a blue and green coalition leading the way to a better future. In my 7 years on this council, I've been proud to work with very talented colleagues to support a number of initiatives to protect our environment and to address climate change. Two climate action plans, one in 2009 and one in 2015. The city's financial divestment from fossil fuels, clean energy works, greater green, new and important protections for our Willamette River and our Bull Run watershed. And yes, we're even turning human waste into clean energy and fertilizer. The challenges of climate change are unprecedented, but they are not insurmountable, no matter what our critics say. Today's vote sends a strong signal that Portland will continue to lead the way like we always have. Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership on this historic occasion. I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Mayor Hales for bringing forward this resolution. And I guess I'm old enough to remember putting a man on the moon in less than 8 years from sort of conception to reality. And all the good things that came from that, not only just the sheer amazement of it, but all the good technological spinoffs of an incredible, ambitious effort like that. And I'm hopeful that perhaps our effort to put a person on Mars or people on Mars will similarly lead to the technological breakthroughs that are necessary to truly attain a clean energy economy. As Commissioner Novick observed, you know, there are several obstacles to clean energy that, you know, unfortunately, fossil fuels fit the niche, like moving around, storage, things like that. But I think that, you know, it's up to cities like us and people like you and movements like 350 to keep us moving and pushing the envelope. And I do think that you know, we can truly look people in the eye and say, I can imagine a clean energy economy. I know it's still, you know, we still have a lot of people to convince. You know, a recent poll last week showed that fewer than 40% put climate change as, you know, the most important issue facing us today. So we still have a lot of work to do. It's easy to proselytize among ourselves and feel a sense of excitement in the City Hall chamber that's packed with advocates. But when you step outside, you know, we've got a real world that has to be persuaded and convinced to change lifestyles, and the lifestyles need to change. And, you know, only look at the fact that the best-selling autos in this country are the Ford 150 and an SUV. So we still have a lot of long way to go to achieve a clean energy climate, clean energy economy. But I do believe, you know, every step starts with everything. Every movement starts with a small step. This is a good step in the right direction. And I think that I want to, again, thank my colleagues for being here and supporting this. Aye.
Well, let me start by thanking my colleagues. You know, people come to this chamber in some cases frequently, in some cases occasionally, and I think you saw today how thoughtful this council is and how we try to get it right, and I appreciate that very much. A lot of folks have been thanked, and they deserve it, and I want to just touch on three of them as individuals. They've been mentioned, but I want to give them a little more love. Michael Armstrong is a quiet man, but he knows more about climate and about these issues than any of us. And he not only is, as you saw here today, encyclopedic in his understanding, but he has this ability to get people to understanding, whether they're opponents or advocates of a given idea. And Michael, thank you, because this is great craftsmanship and great statesmanship on your part. Jackie Dingfelter is about to go tell the Portland story in Down Under in a Fulbright Fellowship, and we will miss her in my office. But having her leadership is wonderful. Thank you, Jackie. And then it's part of my job as a community leader to support and raise up new leaders, and I've had the chance to get to know Mia Reback and see her in action. So I appreciate your leadership and look forward to seeing more of it. Those of you that know me know that I spend what free time, little free time I have, as often as I can in a boat. My earliest memory was actually sitting in the bow of my dad's sailing canoe, curled up in the bottom, listening to the waves slap against the water. And so when I try to put things that are deep for me into words, I often return to boat metaphors. And over the last months, I've spent more and more and more time thinking about climate change, as maybe we all have. There's been so much this year in the Pope's encyclical, in the President's clean energy policy, and so many other actions where it feels like things are accelerating. And actually, that's the memory that comes back to me. My dad and I did a lot of whitewater canoeing, and once we were on the Kakapin River, and there was a waterfall around the corner, but we couldn't hear it. There was a rapids. There was only one place to steer through. It was really a difficult rapids, but we couldn't hear it, and we couldn't see it because the river was turning there, but we could feel it accelerate. We could feel the water moving faster. We could feel the change in the motion of the boat. We knew that something was coming soon. And that's the feeling that I have about this climate issue, that we are accelerating. We have one route through those rapids that are just ahead and just maybe around the corner, and the future is not that far away. But if we are aware and if we feel that change and if we respond to it and if we steer to where we want to go, we can get to a safe and wonderful future. And that's the hope, I think, that we hear in those students and that we hear in all of us that have worked on this issue. I am really proud to be a Portlander, and I am really proud to preside on this city council. Aye.
Oh, we're adjourned.
What? I think. Well, here. That one. There, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, William.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Thanks. Thanks, Sam. Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Hey, look at that.